Blog Talk Radio.
Madden 2013 is released. I mean, we are the Madden voice. We wouldn't be completely true to ourselves if we didn't at least mention the fact that Madden NFL 2013 was released midnight this morning. And, you know, I'm sure K-Star will have a few additional words. He already likes the game. You know, so if K-Star likes the game, I mean, and then you got to go out and get the game. Madden NFL 2013. I didn't buy the last game. In case you don't know who I am, it's me, Commissioner T. But I'm going to get this game. I really am going to get this one. I'm going to get back on to Madden, slowly but surely. No return of the EAFL. Sorry, guys. Those days are over. But I'll get back on the game. But anyway, I don't do this by myself. But before I introduce my two co-hosts, let me apologize for last week's show. It was a technical error on Blog Talk Radio because several of my colleagues that do shows had the same problem. And for some reason, we all got booted off and no one could get back on. So we ended a few minutes sooner than we planned. And it wasn't exactly a smooth finish to the show. So if you were driving to work or driving home and you were listening to K-Star, and all of a sudden you got, you know, it just ended, we apologize. But we will certainly talk some more about MJD and the Jags. So we apologize once again. But you are here with the Madden voice, and you are here with Commissioner T. And let me also introduce my first co-host, EAFL Super Bowl I winner, the man we know affectionately as, and this is true, you know, this ain't just like a title, you know. This is actually, he actually is PhD Holden, Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, Steve, man? Appreciate the intro.
Yeah. Of course. And once again, returning, going to talk to us about a little bit about that Madden a little bit later on. He says he's going to continue to dominate. He says he's going to continue to be one of the best in the world. Sounds like we're talking about CM Punk. Right? Y'all watch wrestling, CM Punk, I'm the best in the world. But we're not talking about CM Punk. We're talking about a guy who was in Madden Nation Season 4. If you don't believe me, go on to YouTube. Go on Google. Search it up. You'll see him. K-Star, he's right there. And every year he's one of the top players in the world. Every year, somehow the guy always returns to the top. And he predicts this year will be no different. He's going after the money, and we are pleased to have him as a co-host. K-Star, welcome back to the Madden Voice.
Hey, just be clear, CM Punk has definitely borrowed some of my swag and did obviously his little studies on K-Star and all it takes to be a K-Star, and that's how he developed CM Punk to begin with. What's going on, everyone? I'm excited. Madden's out. Madden is out for everyone out there. I know everyone's really excited on the game. And, it's a great day. It's Madden holiday.
You know, I got to tell you, man, I've been away from it. And I don't walk around and say I'm retired like some of these guys do. I think it's ridiculous to use the term retired to play in a video game. I mean, that's just stupid if you ask me. You don't retire from a video game. It's a video game. You either play it or you don't play it. You don't retire. Okay, what do you get an AARP card or something? You know what I'm saying? You don't get benefits. You know, I used to go to tournaments, and these guys walk around. Are you playing? Nah, man, I retired. You didn't retire. You just don't play the game no more. And probably because you suck. Me, I've always sucked. So, I mean, it don't matter whether I play or not because I was never really that good at the game. But this year, I'm going to get back on the game. I am. I've heard too many good things about the game. My Facebook page was blowing up. Everybody was on that Madden. I mean, even guys that hadn't been on in a while that I have on Facebook, and they was commenting on the liking this game, really enjoying this game. So I'm intrigued enough to say that I will pick up the game. I'm not very good, so no challenges, guys, because you'll beat me. But any challenges that come my way, I will defer to K-Star, because you won't beat him. That's all I'm saying. I played him.
Not at all. Not at all. Is that some early bunny?
I'm just going to say like this. I played the guy, okay? And, you know, like, I love Floyd Mayweather. Why? Because he runs his mouth, but then he gets in a ring and you can't hang, right? I love guys that can talk it and then walk it. And K-Star is one of those guys, he doesn't really do a lot of talking. But if you get under his skin, he's going to let you know. And then he's going to pick up the sticks and he's going to hurt you. So,
oh, yeah, don't get under my skin. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. See, yeah, someone makes me mad at any kind of all or tries to even insinuate that they even have a little bit more talent than yours truly, I go nuts. And I go on the Ollie Quick little rant like I'm about to do now because that just gets me fired up just thinking about it. And that Ray Lewis introduction video, all the people out there who play the game know how awesome of an intro it is on so many different levels. But, yeah, I mean, last night was hilarious because I went to the GameStop just to get a free copy of the game because I downloaded the early retail version. And so I'm at GameStop, and it's just, you know, me and my girlfriend or whatever. And, of course, some of the local guys who knew me from betting a long time ago, you know, and they just told me it's Pat. They don't want to play Pat, whatever, whatever. And, of course, everyone's starting to figure it out, like, oh, this guy's real good. Oh, he was on the Madden. And the rest of the night, like, had 30 male groupies. And, no, I'm not bragging. It was just ridiculous. Like, if someone scored against me, it was the biggest deal of all time. You're like, oh, man, you did really good, bro. I lost 42-7. But you know what? That's a good score against K-Star. That's a good score. And I was like, you know what? And it is. But all jokes aside, like, you know, it was really fun out there being amongst Matt and all the people. It was cool. And people were really excited about the game, you know.
I got to admit, I missed that. I didn't go last year. I didn't go this year. And I got to admit, 2 years ago when I went, I'm not K-Star, okay? I'm not even in my best damn K-Star, but I have been for many years the Madden voice, okay? And so, you know, as I stood in line and we're talking with different guys, of course, I'm going to promote the Madden voice because that's kind of what I do. And guys, you know, guys are haters, right? I mean, what do you mean the Madden voice? What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a radio show. I mean, you know, and I have, you know, all of the top Madden players come on the show and, you know, nah, man. And so, you know, cell phones, they get right on and they're Googling. And, of course, boom, there it is. You know, and like I said, I'm not you. But, yeah, I understand what you mean. Like, all of a sudden, it's like you get all these male groupies wanting to be your best friend, you know. And
some kid was especially hilarious, though, because it was the first kid I played. And this kid actually applied to the job I'm a manager at a few days ago, apparently. And my girlfriend's one who took his resume or whatever, right? And so he doesn't know, I don't know at the time when we're playing, but after we do play, it's like 42-0, I believe the score is, in 2 1/4. He was like, man, he's really good to his friends, whatever. And then they found out, like, I was on Mad Nation, this, that, and a third. And it turns out that, you know, talking to my girlfriend, that he actually applied a few days ago, whatever, to the job, and his interview is tomorrow. And so when he called, I guess this morning, he was like, oh, man, hey, this is whatever, you know, his name is, like, you know, the guy that your boyfriend just absolutely demolished last night, K-Star. He worked there, right? Like, I'm kidding. That's hilarious. The guy,
that is funny.
After the game, when he finds out that was Madden Nation again, he was like, hey, man, that's wrong. Like, you pretty much beat down a little kid, and here's a guy with, like, you know, tattoos and everything. But it was just funny. The dude was hilarious. But, yeah, I mean, they're haters. People were saying that at first, too, and then, like, oh, wait, he was on the bus. And then they seen the score, like, oh, okay, never mind. I mean, we were going to be haters at first, but then
right.
That was a little
Right. Well, anyway, we welcome. We always welcome Madden calls, but in particularly tonight. And before we get into our NFL talk, because it is, you know, what we're going to talk about predominantly tonight, but we can't ignore the fact that Madden 2013 is out. But if you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525. 347-838-9525. If you want to call in, you can certainly send us a tweet. My Twitter is up. The Madden voice, it's up. I'll get it right away. And speaking of, which is why we're gonna take a Madden question. So K-Star, this is a Madden question for you. This is a tweet sent a couple hours ago from a guy, Ryan is King. I don't know his real name, but that's his Twitter name. So thank you, Ryan is King, for sending us this question or question / comment. But it says, Madden needs roster edit and custom rosters in connected careers. Played the early release, and I'm not buying first time ever. Too many problems. Now, I know roster updates are always an issue when the game comes out, but what about the other the connected? I don't know really much about the connected career feature, but any comments on his tweet?
I haven't touched or played the connected career feature, but that's the first I heard of that. So. Have you heard any more of this? Like, did you look into? I haven't heard any of that on Twitter or anything.
I haven't heard anything. I heard the term, and I had to look it up real quick, and I was like, wow, that looks kind of hot. But so Ryan is King. What we're gonna do is we're gonna do a little homework for you, okay, and see what we can find out and see if this is just, you know, kind of your issue or is this prevalent out there in the Madden community. And this time next week we'll come back with a little more information. So maybe we'll come back with some clarity for you, and then you can go out and get that game. So
yeah, and if it is, though, and it sounds like it is, like it's either on his end, but if it isn't. I mean, they're going to have a patch for that. Like, you know, they will, simply because, you know, they're pumping the career feature and all that stuff, and rightfully so. So it's not like even if there is like a worldwide issue with Madden having that, I haven't heard of that. First, I heard of it. Even if it's going to be it's going to get taken care of. Like, yeah, they really understand, especially how the game just came out. It's going to get taken care of probably within a week if that were the case. Like, at least.
People have to understand, and this is something we learned on the Madden Voice, having some of the former producers and game designers on the show. You know, they, no matter how much that they test the game in beta mode and early release and all of that, no matter how many, they really don't know until it drops. Because now you've got 5-6 million people playing the game, and that's when you truly find all the bugs, all the glitches, all the errors, and thus the subsequent patches and updates come out. So for those of you who got the game, and maybe this is your first time getting Madden, or maybe you've been away from it, just be patient, because over the next few weeks there'll be updates, there'll be patches, and if there are some problems, EA is very good at getting those up. Getting it. EA has really plugged into the community big time over the last 5 years. We've sat and watched EA. I mean, when we started doing our show back in 07, 08, it was like everything was a Madden mystery trying to find out about the game. And we watched it totally come full circle to where everything's full disclosure now. So they're very connected into the community. And just be patient. Just be patient.
Especially Twitter. Twitter's been around. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. All right, we got a call. And those of you who want to hear the best NFL talk on the internet, dare I say the best internet NFL talk anywhere, hang tight. We're going to get to that momentarily. But let's take a call. Area code 754. Area code 754. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's up, guys? Jedi Capricorn.
Jedi Capricorn.
What's going on?
I had to call what's in up, finally and get on the air with you and say what's up.
What's up?
How are you guys doing tonight?
Wonderful, wonderful. You ready? You ready? 8 days away, baby. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm more ready for the Madden 13 release, though. I've been playing it since it came out last night.
Yeah? What do you think?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. Oh, it's great. The connected. I just tuned in and I heard you guys had a question about connected careers. I've been talking to Shopmaster and the EA Sports Game Changers.
Yep.
And over at Madden Sim Leagues, where I host my leagues, we got Josh Lumen calling into our Blog Talk radio show, the lead designer, next Tuesday, taking questions. So if anybody's got any questions about connected careers, I got pretty much the FYI. I've been watching all the videos. I've been playing it. I simmed 4 seasons since it came out, the early release. So I know how the draft works. Basically, what connected careers is they took the online franchise mode, the superstar mode, and they combined it into one connected career. You could play as a head coach, which is like old online franchise in the past, or you can just be a player like Superstar Mode. And all the offline features are now in the online features. You got cut days, you got preseason, the draft is much more in depth and detailed. It's the best thing to come into Madden in years.
That sounds good, because before I started playing online and then getting involved in the tournament scene, I was franchise, man. I mean, that was all I ever did was franchise mode. So for a lot of us old Madden heads, you know, I'm talking about from day one Madden, man. That sounds hot.
Yeah, you got to get your hands on a game and for the connected careers.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. It's how in depth it is. I mean, it's got a Twitter feed on there for your leagues, and it's really cool.
But let me, with all the Madden talking, of course we got to do Madden talk because it's the Madden voice and the game drop today. But you know, you are a big time Giants fan. You are a
huge
diehard Giants fan.
You are a big time Redskins fan.
Redskins, man, really?
Aren't you?
Wow. Redskins.
No, Dallas. I'm sorry, not Redskins. Dallas. I knew it was Tennessee.
Wow.
Dallas.
So disrespectful.
Wow.
Oh man, my bad.
You know what? I'm gonna have to go online and get a clip of Stephen A. Smith saying that what K-Star just said. And then just for situations like that, I can play it because I can't mimic him, you know, because he does that better than anybody. And I would play it because that was so disrespectful. But anyway,
I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, but you know, we, and certainly we can do this next Tuesday, but just real quick, I was looking at your roster, and I know that the Cowboys are banged up a little bit, but you know, I didn't realize how banged up y'all was. I mean, you guys, as quiet as it's kept, y'all got some pretty good injuries over there in New York. I mean,
got some guys getting hurt here and there. No, it's not And we're losing games by 3 points and 1 point in the preseason, which don't mean nothing. But as a diehard Giants fan, it don't make me very happy seeing my team lose by a field goal or less and take injuries at the same time.
Well, that's
a preseason game. No one cares about wins or losses.
That's not
the important thing for preseason.
Right.
Once you look at how your team executes and how your team performs,
yeah,
and as far as I'm concerned, the Giants have executed in preseason.
Oh yeah, they look good actually. As far as the starters go,
they look really good.
I saw the only Giant game I saw was against the Jets, and they looked very good against the Jets. So that's the only game I got to see, and they beat the Jets. Now, I was actually pretty happy about it because I can't stand the Jets. I mean, I don't like the Giants either, but the Jets just irritate me for some reason. So I was real happy about that. That was probably one of the only times I was actually happy watching the Giants beat somebody down. But, yeah, make sure you call in next week, Jedi, okay? If you can, make sure you call in next week so we can. I mean, it's the day before the big game, man, and we got to have a little joust session if you can, you know, before the September 5th opening game between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants.
I can definitely do that, man. I'll give you a buzz.
Sounds good.
We'll discuss the ins and outs of the game and maybe put a little friendly wager on the game here and there.
I think I'm up for that. You know, it wouldn't be Madden if there wasn't some little bit of betting, right, K-Star?
Absolutely. That is absolutely true.
All right, brother. Hey, we appreciate the call.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Have a good night.
Take care. You too.
All right.
Well, later.
All right. Yeah, definitely, man, for y'all Madden diehards out there, Shotmaster does a good blog talk radio show as well, and he focuses much more on Madden than we do, and he changes his start time. Sometimes he starts at 8, 9, or even 10, but he runs on Tuesday night, too, so, you know, if you guys are checking us out and want to shoot over and check him out real quick, you know, and again, he focuses much more on Madden, and so, and Shop's a good guy, so, you know, I don't view it as competition. I think he's a good dude, so. So, you know, if you want to get real deep into Madden, go ahead and check out Shop. But Shop don't have K-Star. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, not at all. In a little bit.
You know, so if you want to get real good at the game, you need to stay right up in here. But anyway, let's talk NFL. And, one of the bigger stories of the week, which, you know, and I'm going to take this in parts because it kind of is mushrooms into a bigger issue. But first, let's start with my man, my favorite player, T.O., Terrell Owens, released by the Seahawks after maybe about 2.5 weeks. And, you know, when he was released, there were speculations that he was becoming a locker room problem again. There was speculation that he was doing more complaining than he was producing. And that's what the insiders were saying. And then Pete Carroll came out, and I tried to get the clip to play it, but they came out late this afternoon, and I couldn't get in time to get it on the show. But pretty much what Pete Carroll said was that's hogwash. He said that T.O. was a model team member. He worked hard, had a good attitude, asked questions, studied film, studied the playbooks. He said, and matter of fact, even said, hey, depending on how the season plays, we might look him up and bring him back later in the season, you know, if we have a need there. But said that pretty much, they're looking to go younger, and that the younger guys were kind of, you know, impressing them, and so that's the route. But he also said, I would be very surprised if he didn't end up on a roster somewhere. So I ask you, Train, is that Pete Carroll just kind of, you know, trying to give a T.O. a chance to get another job somewhere? Or do you think he was sincere? Was T.O., in your opinion, based on what you've heard, was T.O. again? Or was it just a case where he was just beat out, simply beat out by younger players?
I just think he got beat out, man. I mean, every highlight that I saw, you know, they wasn't all great. They showed him dropping balls that he would normally catch that 2 years ago. When he played, those were great bats to catch his ball. I just think he got beat up. I don't want to hear about the whole locker room. I didn't hear anything about the locker room stuff, but you just brought it up. But as far as performance, he just got beat out in the position.
K-Star, any thoughts?
I got to echo what Train's saying. It seemed like his sloppy concentration as far as catching the balls would cost him. I mean, his athletic ability still seemed to be intact. He was, you know, burning defenders on the field, getting behind the whole defense, but he wasn't catching the ball. Apparently he had 5 drops his last 2 games, one of them being that 40-yard touchdown. So I just think maybe they feel that he has too much going on in his personal life that's causing him to have these concentration issues, which is now causing him to not be able to catch the football. I just really think that's it, and it's sad because I really wanted to see what he was going to be able to do this year, but unfortunately we're not going to be able to see it.
Yeah, I've said it for years since T.O. was in Dallas, and I watched, and I watch the NFL, I listen to the pundits, and then with the Cowboys, I listen to the people that are Cowboys, not insiders, but the people that work for the team. And so often, what we hear publicly is not what actually is the case. And I realized when I was watching T.O. in Dallas that the reason T.O. was no longer in Dallas was the media, you know, which we are loose members of the media. We don't get paid to do this. We do this for fun. We are fans. But we are still reporting and we are still giving our opinions. But some of the people that work for the networks, their job is ratings. That's their job. Entertaining is a distant second. Their job is ratings. And they will go so far as to take an ounce of truth and make it into a big, huge, elaborate story. And I'll give you an example. They said that they announced that Jason Witten would be ready to play game 1 2 days before Jason Witten was even examined by a doctor, because I follow the team that closely. And I heard it on a network that I will not name, and I said, wow, that's great. I mean, he's going to be ready for game 1. Then I tune into the show that's produced by the team, and the guy that hosts the show said, yeah, he heard it, and he saw Jason Witten, and he said, hey, I hear you're already cleared to play in game 1. And Jason said, I have no idea where that came from. They haven't even examined me yet to see how much my spleen has healed, so the jury's still out. So when I hear all that, I think, yeah, somebody probably started to plant some seeds that T.O. was being T.O. And I think that combined with the fact that, you know, he made one spectacular catch, but he had too many drops. But honestly, he's 38, going to be 39 years old. He had been back in the NFL for 2.5 weeks after being out of the NFL almost 2 years. I think they made a mistake, And I think whatever team, if a team gives them a chance, will be very happy. Because what we did see in just 2.5 weeks to me was very promising for a guy his age running a 4.440 and still being able to make plays, although he did miss some. But he was rusty. I mean, look at Peyton Manning at 35, about to be 36. He is now after offseason, you know, everything, he's coming into Peyton Manning form. But he hadn't played in about the same amount of time as T.O. And these are Hall of Fame athletes we're talking about here. So I mean, Seattle did what they thought is best. I hope that T.O. gets another shot. I sincerely hope. And I think if he does, I think that he will do well. Despite what my man Daryl, and I hope you're out there listening, Daryl said, it will not be in Dallas. A buddy of mine, Daryl, said, I think Jerry Jones is going to give T.O. another chance. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. On the note of T.O., Chad Johnson, Plaxico Burr, question I have for you guys, Randy Moss getting limited snaps. Randy Moss being one-dimensional, pretty much a deep threat, go over the middle, not a slant guy anymore, kind of just a deep threat.
Trey,
do you think Randy Moss is next, or is Randy's job with San Francisco safe?
I think he's pretty safe in San Francisco for now, unless we start seeing something from Mario Manningham. He's the only quiet receiver I haven't heard anything about down in Texas. So maybe if you start seeing something from Mario Manningham, maybe, you know, Moss would be out of there. But I think for now, I think Randy Moss is okay. He wasn't sloppy in preseason. He saw passes that came his way. You know, he ran his route. You know, it's just a matter of whether Adam Smith had an arm to get it to him once the season starts. But, you know, I think Randy's fine.
And K-Star, different question. T.O., Chad, Plaxico, all unemployed. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you need a receiver. Who do you take of those three?
Oh, Plaxico. To me, Plaxico, only based off personnel. Because, I mean, look at it. At least you know with Plaxico, he can be, at the very bare minimum, a great red zone threat. You know, especially for teams that don't really have, like, guys that really threaten in the red zone or really – you know, scary. The fact of the matter is that they even have a threat buffet for which whatever team that, you know, would get them would. And the red zone is, and as a decoy, is a really big addition. I think Plaxico would have a job out of the remaining three before anyone else does. And I think at this point, he's the best value. You get for cheap, hopefully. I don't know what Plesko's going right. I'm not really sure why Plesko's unemployed either. I couldn't tell you. But what I can tell you is, again, that I know at the end of the day, Plesko Burst is a great red zone threat. So, he's good. I would take him. Otherwise, I mean, it's tough though because T.O., I feel like T.O. has the most left saying that, but I really do think his personal life right now, and it's not because he's 38, it's because I think he has so much going on with that baby mama drama from how many other different women. The fact that he's broke is really what's just wrecked his concentration. I don't think he's causing any problem. I really don't. And it sucks because he's so talented. I mean, I would say the talent's sake T.O., but with everything that's been kind of put out there, it's Plaxico Burst.
Well, now, I asked you this question in training. Maybe I shouldn't ask him because he is Plaxico is a former Steeler, and I'm asking a Steeler fan.
Yeah,
I don't know what I was thinking. Train, I'm going to ask you a question because none of these guys have played for the Bears. So if you had your choice of these three and the Bears needed a receiver and these three guys were the only ones available, who would you take?
There is one player I'm a fan of, but not only because I'm a fan of him. If this dude was just totally focused on football and nothing else, I'd take Chad Johnson.
No
way. I like what he was doing in Cincinnati, even when TJ was down there. I mean, he didn't catch as he probably didn't get as many balls thrown at him as TJ once, you know, TJ even got it, you know, started going, making it to the superstar status, but TJ was getting a lot of one-on-one looks because Chad Johnson had to deal with the double team. Chad Johnson was a very good receiver. He made it to Pro Bowls, man. People had to plan for him. Teams had to plan for Chad Johnson, man. If I had my pick of the litter, I would definitely take Chad Johnson if he was totally focused on football. I was super excited to see that dude in Miami and ready to see him play this year.
That's a tough question for me because I'm a T.O. fan, and he's already been in Dallas. And so it's a tough question for me. I would not take Plaxico. I don't know. I just don't think he's that good anymore. I think he's okay. I think I think that T.O. and Chad are just better athletes. I do, you know, Plaxico in the red zone, he's tall, you know, and he knows how to control his body and make those catches. And so that is something to consider. But I'm never been a huge Plaxico fan. I probably would want to give Chad Johnson a shot because we've already had T.O. Unfortunately, he didn't have the smoothest time in Dallas for 3 years, and I know there's no way that Jerry Jones would bring him back. So I'd probably have to agree with Train.
How can you guys say Chad Johnson over Plaxico? Because, I mean, look at this. Even last year, Plaxico Burress, fresh out of jail, had 8 touchdowns with Mark Sanchez in 16 games. I mean, Chad had nothing last year. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in about 3 or 4 years. Like,
I'm not looking at Chad Johnson in the Patriots system. I'm looking at Chad Johnson
Even when Chad Johnson and T.O. were on the same team, T.O. was the better target for Carson Palmer that year, statistically.
Well, statistically, but you don't know how the coverages were.
Hold on. But Chad Johnson hasn't been a legitimate threat for years. I mean, I'm just saying, like, even the year before that, like I said, 831 yards. He had 2008, he had 540. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season in the past 4 or 5 seasons. Like, that's...
Well, you can't blame Chad Johnson for last year when you're on a team that, well, the team went to the Super Bowl. Okay, I mean, this is not a team that underachieved or underperformed. So their formula was successful. And when you have Gronkowski, just a while back signed to a long-term extension, Hernandez, local boy from Bristol, Connecticut, signed a couple days ago to a long-term contract. Wes Welker, who we don't know what his future is going to be like, but 100 catches a year. Deion Branch, I mean, there's only one ball. And so... You know, I just don't know that I can sit there. When Randy Moss played for the Patriots, there was no Gronkowski, there was no Hernandez. And so it's a different system now. And so I can't sit here and say Chad lost it because he only had 16, 15 catches last year. I'd like to see him. I agree with you. I would like to see him with another team and be more of a featured receiver and see what he can do or not do. He was just another receiver on the Patriots because they had so
many. Exactly. And that's why he wasn't good.
Because you're so big on stats, let me help you with the stats. Chad Johnson has 1,000-yard season except for 4 seasons in the NFL. One being last year, one being his very last year at Cincinnati, but the year before that, he was a 1,000-yard receiver, one being his rookie year.
And then 540 yards.
You guys already answered the question for me.
You already answered the question. He was just an ordinary receiver. He was just an ordinary receiver in New England. He didn't even make the Patriots game plan. You know why? Because he's not. Listen.
So here's the thing. Game plan for Chad Johnson? Are you serious?
They did not. There was no game plan for Chad Johnson last year.
You're trying to say your Steelers didn't have the game plan for Chad Johnson. Is that what you're telling
last
me?
Last year?
Really? Really?
I'm referring to last year.
He was killing it with the Bengals. You're trying to say that the Steelers didn't have the game plan for Chad Johnson. They just, hey, we don't have to worry about him.
And Cincinnati, but this isn't Cincinnati. He's not young anymore.
I can't be serious, man.
Wait. Let me.
We're on a different wave. Wait, you're talking about last year.
Hold on. I think what Train is asking you is, are you saying, and I want you to answer it, K-Star, that when Chad Johnson was on the field last year, when he got on the field, are you saying he was just ignored, that they didn't pay him any attention? Or are you saying they knew that's Chad Johnson, we need to take him, we know what he can bring to this game? I think that's what Train's asking you.
That's, yes, and if that's really what he's asking, that's a horrendous. He was in 20 snaps per game last year.
The Patriots need a game plan for Chad Johnson. So why would any other team game plan for Chad Johnson?
What are you talking about?
What
you're ignoring, K-Star, is the Patriots system was a two tight end system where the tight ends and the slot receiver was the focal point of their offense. And that got them to the Super Bowl. I don't
Hold
care
on.
Who they had out there as the one or two receiver. It didn't matter. Thus, the contract extensions, even Welker right now, who wants an extension.
Welker's a slot receiver. Here's the thing. Again, there's no team's game plan for Chad Johnson. He was a single coverage. He had one chance at Buffalo to finally make a point, like week three, week four, just dropped a wide open touchdown, one-on-one coverage. He was only isolated. He couldn't even get the Patriots system. He was just on the sidelines, just doing comeback route. He couldn't get open against anything. It was
why
he was on the field.
Are you saying because he wasn't a fit for the Patriots, that means he just can't be a fit anywhere?
Look, if he can't be a fit for Tom Brady, and with how often they throw the ball, then what makes you think he can be a fit elsewhere?
They're throwing to the tight end. Did you watch the Patriots last year?
Yes, and Wes Welker still had over 100 catches, and Deion Branch still had 7 touchdowns. He wasn't productive at all.
And Wes Welker with 100 catches is still waiting for a contract extension. Why? Because the focal point is the tight end. That's their offense. That's why Wes Welker's sitting there mad, because Hernandez just got $37.5 million for 6 years, and Welker's saying, where's mine? I caught 122 balls last year. Where's my money? And they're saying, you're not our focus. Wide receiver's not our focus. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that
you're wrong.
Production last year, you cannot.
Why do they bring in Brandon Lloyd, first of all, to play that stretch the field, to play those comeback routes, do all those things? He's going to be a focal point of that offense. I mean, Patriots said, we'll much rather have Brandon Lloyd give you a big contract rather than Chad Johnson at the end of the day. So with all that being said, you don't think that Brandon Lloyd is going to be a viable option in New England this year? Really?
We'll see. I don't. No, I don't. I bet he'll catch more than 40 balls.
If he catches 40 balls, he's going to have at least 9 touchdowns. Listen, they brought him in to be that deep threat.
Chad's not
a deep threat. Chad's not anything special anymore. He's just in his skill set. He's just not good anymore.
I sincerely hope that Chad gets, and I mean this, I hope he gets a job somewhere and proves you wrong with the right team. I mean, everybody can't play on every team. I think you know that. There are guys that play on one team, and they struggle, and they go to another team, and that system just fits them better, and they flourish. You know, and I think Chad just was not a fit for the system. It wasn't the same system in New England that they had in 07 where Randy Moss caught all those touchdown passes. It was a completely different system. And I think that had a lot to do with why Chad Johnson was not productive last year. But I do believe if he's given a chance. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, I think all three of these guys on the right team can be productive. You know, it's just a matter of can they, and with what we're seeing in the NFL, the youth movement that we're seeing, I mean, it's unprecedented. I've been following the NFL since I was a kid, and I tell you, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but 5 rookie quarterbacks starting? Never before. I mean, the NFL is moving young, and that doesn't speak well for these three guys. Speaking of moving young, the Bills, and let me kind of lay this out for everybody so that they can kind of understand how this happened. The Bills released Vince Young of 1 year ago, Dream Team, Philadelphia Eagles status, and probably his biggest claim to fame in the NFL was calling the Eagles a Dream Team. But Matt Flynn was signed by the Seattle Seahawks in the offseason, given a big fat contract to be their starter. They drafted Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson gets named the starter. Flynn is now the backup. Tavares Jackson now has no home. Pretty much he's third, and he's too talented to be sitting there at third. And so they trade him over to Buffalo for him to back up Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now there's no room for Vince Young. Vince Young gets released. Let me start with K-Star on this one. Do you think Vince Young is all done?
No, he'll find a job as number two quarterback, but that's just, I guess, kind of where he's at in his career. He was before Buffalo. And obviously in Philly, he was a backup last year as well. So, I mean, it's unfortunate because Vince Young's kind of cool to watch to play. He's an exciting player, but for a reason, it didn't work out, as a starting quarterback. But yeah, I would, if I were the Steelers, I'd
be kind of happy to have Vince Young back on Big Ben just in case. I mean, you know, if we're going to make it fair about Tebow being a winner, I mean, Vince Young, he's also been a winner in the NFL. I mean, not productively, you know, in the stats or anything won't blow you away, but he does help improve run games tremendously. He can game plan with Vince Young. It sucks because he's not going to be a starter in the NFL, at least I don't foresee it, but I do hope and think he will absolutely get an opportunity as number two. And who knows, maybe that quarterback goes down and he proves other people wrong. But he's an exciting player, so it sucks to see, and hope he lands a job soon.
Train, what do you think?
Was Vince Young find a new job?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he can still play the game. Vince Young's career is very unfortunate. I mean, he kind of got tossed in a situation in Tennessee where the owner wanted him, but the coach didn't want him. So the coach just never really bought into Vince Young. And to go head up with a coach is just something you don't do. And that's pretty much the downfall of his career. But he can still play the game. He can still be a backup somewhere.
Yeah, I think he'll get a job, but I don't think he'll – I think he's – he's done. He'll be a journeyman for maybe next couple years, third string, you know, maybe a backup, come in, play a game here and there. He's all done. And I'm going to tell you where he went wrong. I think he had all the talent in the world. Where he went wrong was a lot of the emotional stuff, the emotional frailty he showed under Jeff Fisher. And he's never recovered from that, never. And NFL, you know, they'll tell you it stands for not for long when you act like that. You have to have more mental toughness. And I don't think anybody wants to give this guy the keys to their franchise with that track record, with that history. That's worse than being a locker room cancer. That's even worse than showing fluctuating productivity on the field, because you can work on that. They can work, they can game plan, they can scheme and try to focus on your talents. And, you know, the guy's mobile and he's got a strong arm and, you know, but when they know that you're not mentally tough and you're going to be quarterback, I don't see it. I don't see it. So I think he's done. I think he'll get a job, but he'll be like Leinart. You know, funny that these guys are, you know, played in championship games. I think that
wow,
you know, they'll be pretty much the same. You know, journeyman.
We all said that their careers would be tied together. We didn't really expect it to turn out this way, though.
Who would have thunk that, though? Right? Who?
Man, not at all.
And I mean, wow. On the note of quarterbacks, I wanted to get your thoughts on. I'll start with K-Star. I'd mentioned it earlier, but, you know, Pete Carroll, you know, really, he's really showing cojones. I mean, he signs T.O., cuts him after 2.5 weeks, which, you know, hey. But he took Russell Wilson and named him the starter. Now, you know, Russell Wilson's a rookie. Matt Flynn comes in. They gave him a $10 million signing bonus. The guy threw for, you know, 8 billion yards his one game in Green Bay. And, you know, certainly showed that he's got some talent. But he said, I don't care how much we're paying you. You're the backup. And Russell Wilson's a starter. K-Star, what are your thoughts on that?
There's a difference between franchises and organizations who want to win and who just hopes that their money is well spent. There's really two big differences. Obviously, there's the business aspect. But there's also the fact of the matter is you get what you pay for, right? Well, the Seahawks are an organization that cares more about winning, because you're right. Here's Matt Flynn, a brand-new, you know, $10 million contract, and here's a third-round pick, rookie, you know, Russell Wilson, making significantly less than that. And they choose Wilson as their starter, and rightfully so, because he's been playing out of his mind in the preseason. I applaud it. I mean, look, I'll put it like this. If the Steelers, you know, were to future times, like having a quarterback, you know, long after Big Ben, of course, you know, have a quarterback who they invested a lot of money in, but it turned out that for whatever reason he became a Steeler, or he just started to have the bottom fall of his career, have a player who, you know, is like a sixth-round, seventh-round pick that they would take a chance. And I mean, look how it looked. I'm not comparing him to Brady, but look what happened in New England. All the money was tied into Drew Bledsoe. Here comes Tom Brady, sixth-round draft pick, comes in, lights the world on fire.
Yeah, that was different. Brady was injured. Bledsoe was injured.
Bledsoe was injured, but they still had a chance to either re-sign Bledsoe or give Brady another shot.
But that's very different because the same thing happened in Dallas. You know, I'm staying corrected. It didn't happen, and Bledsoe just wasn't performing, and Parcells make a decision. He threw Romo in there and said, "I got to do it." But this was a quarterback competition, and I guess my problem with it, and then you guys can comment. I don't think it's the wrong decision. I'm just based on everything I saw and read and heard, it was a close battle. Russell Wilson edged him out. It wasn't dominant. It wasn't, definitive. And if that's the case, I don't know that you put Russell Wilson in if it's just a nose. Because you've got so much money invested in this guy. And to me, unless it's a knockdown dragout where, you know, Matt Flynn stunk it up and you're like, who is this guy we just paid all this money to and Wilson lit it up? Unless that's the case, I think this is the guy you said in the offseason, you said, here are the keys to my brand new car. Here you go. Okay. He's driving it just fine. And this guy comes in and says, I can park it just a little bit better. And you say, okay, go ahead. You park it then. I just don't agree with that. I think this is the guy you paid and gave the money to. Then you put him out there and you make him earn that money. And if he can't perform on game day one, if he can't perform and you feel better about bringing Wilson in, I'm okay with that. Then I'm perfectly okay with that. But like you said, it's preseason, you know, and you're evaluating people to a point. But where was your evaluation in the offseason when you paid this guy so much damn money? And this Russell Wilson guy is getting $960,000. And your starter, who is now your backup, is getting $10 million. I just feel, you know, if I'm on that team, I'm sitting like, damn, you know, I'd love to get make $10 million sitting on the bench. Shit, bench me, coach. I don't know, Train. Am I crazy? Am I crazy, Train?
I mean, actually, man, I listen to both. Both of you guys have a point. I mean, it's looking like Pete Carroll is, you know, I want to keep my job. I'm gonna put in who I think gives us the best chance to win. But on the other hand, right, you kind of have a point. See, if this rookie quarterback isn't blowing away the guy that you brought in to be your starter, you know, you paid him. You know, every indication just from offseason, you know, you're going to get Matt Flynn was saying, hey, Matt Flynn is going to be the starter day one. You gave him the money, you gave him starter money to start day one. And day one is almost upon us, and here we have a rookie starting in his place. And if he didn't blow Matt Flynn away, then, I mean, ideally, Matt Flynn should be the guy that's starting. But I said, on the other hand, you know, you got a coach that says, hey, I need to keep my job. I need to put the best player out there to win. So,
well, let me put it to you this way. Let me put it this way. If you start Flynn and he does well, then the universe is in order and all is well, right? If you start Wilson and he doesn't do well, now you have to go back to Flynn, who was supposed to be your starter, and say, oops, my bad. I thought he was the man, but he wasn't. He ain't ready. Here's the keys to the car. You can drive it again. I don't know. I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I'm looking at the other side of it, and I'm saying, I mean, this is a business, and with the money that's invested in this guy, I don't know that he should have lost his job in preseason. I could see week one, week two, but I don't know if preseason, unless it was definitive, unless it was just hands down.
Yeah. And that's, you know, there's a coach and there's an owner. And at the end of the day, the owner of the Seahawks said to, you know, Pete Carroll, obviously I'm paying you the money, your investment as well, to put the best product on the football field. And if you feel that Russell Wilson is the better player, even as a rookie, then you have to put him in. I mean, I just think actually, you know, obviously there was no pressure from the owner because you're right. As an owner, I'll be like, no, let's check this investment out first, right?
Right.
But, you know, it's Pete Carroll's decision, you know, and that's, I feel like it's good to go.
Yeah. Last week, you were beginning to talk about MJD and the Jags, and unfortunately, the show ended prematurely. So I'm going to turn it back over to K-Star to give his thoughts on MJD's holdout with the Jags. And, you know, what we're looking for, K-Star, is, you know, whose side are you on?
You know, it's funny because here we are again, you know, the owner-player kind of concept in a way. But I got to go with the player because – and normally I'll go with the owner because, you know, you play the contract that was written on pen and paper, right? You know, you play it out. Sometimes you may overperform your contract, but we're still a whole NFL franchise. We hold the leverage over you, right? In this situation, however, MJD is the Jaguars. The only thing that pops in my head when I think of the Jaguars isn't Justin Blackmon. It's not, you know, Blaine Gabbert. He's the core. It's Maurice Jones-Drew, and that's really all they've had for a very long time since Fred Taylor has left. You know, he led the league in rushing. What was he, like 60% of the offense last year? And the fact of the matter is that young quarterback, that young receiver needs his presence in the backfield. I really don't see how the owner feels like he has any leverage here, which is crazy because he's an owner. But that franchise has been on the rocks anyway. They're talking about moving that franchise to L.A. And, of course, you know, the owner would make plans for if they went to L.A. But the fact of the matter is you need that star player to market that, or tap into that market anyway if you wanted to do that. And in this case, it's MJD. I just don't see any MJD to me feels like it seems like he has the stranglehold because at the end of the day, he kind of holds more of the cards because if they don't put him on the field, if they don't pay him, that team's going to suffer. And they're not going to get anything for the money that they are paying the man. It's just, I don't know.
Trey, yeah, any thoughts?
Okay. I definitely agree with what K-Star is saying. MJD has been the Jaguars. But I don't side with MJD. This is what happens when players sign long-term deals and you end up outplaying that deal. The most unfortunate thing about MJD is that you decide to pull a holdout when the owner changed. Not just coaching, not just GM. No, they changed owners. It's bad timing. And this dude has a different vision for the team that may not include you. They went out and hired the personnel to help Blaine Gabbert, not to help MJD. So, unfortunately for MJD, you just got to come to camp, dude. You just got to play. There's nothing you can do because, I mean, your hands are tied. It's bad timing to try to pull a holdout when such a drastic change has been made. I think it's a little different from the Chris Johnson situation because this guy was, you know, he was, well, thankfully, he was still on the contract, but, you know, it was still under the same ownership. They wanted Chris Johnson on their field and on their team, and they needed him. And, yeah, it may be similar case to MJD, but the new owner isn't having it. If the owner says, just keep the train moving, then, dude, you might as well get on.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I've thought long and hard about this because I consider myself I'm for the players 99% of the time. But, I this one bugs me because I understand why he's holding out. You know, I did a little research, and, you know, he's got 2 years left on a five-year deal worth $31 million. This season he's scheduled to make $4.45 million, and next season just under $5 million. Compare that to Chris Johnson, who's getting $13.5 million. Arian Foster, who's getting $8.7 million. Marshawn Lynch, $7.75 million. Steven Jackson, D'Angelo Williams, and Adrian Peterson are also making more money. So I understand from where him and his agent are sitting, he's saying, and he's 27 years old. So by the time his contract ends, he's now 29. And, you know, in NFL running back years, you're this guy carried 343 times last year. So, you know, your body only has so many carries. And so what is the likelihood at 29 that he can secure that big contract at 29? It's as a running back, it's going to be tough. So he wants to get it now. So I understand. I understand why he would do it. The problem is, and this is the problem in sports, you signed a contract. I mean, you signed it. You know, and they can't get out of it. I mean, they can release you, but then in the contract, they have to pay you X number of dollars because that's what they agreed to, you know. So, I mean, ownership gets into a contract, and they have to stick up for their end of it no matter what happens, right? And if they release you, then there's clauses that says, well, you know, this much you still have to pay me, and this much is guaranteed, and that's what you agree to. It's all explained to you when you sign. So with that being said, I don't agree with the holdout because at the end of the day, number one, you're hurting your team, right? Number two, I mean, let's look at Chris Johnson last year. Now, he did ultimately get paid, but look at the year he ended up having. I mean, he took him forever to get on track. And so look at what he's losing athletically and look what he's losing, you know, being able to contribute to the team. And you know, unfortunately, I think most of the time in these situations, the player ends up losing. So, I, you know, I get it. I get why. And be honest with you, I think they should renegotiate. I think they should. But, you know, that owner, as Train says, he's going to stick. He's going to stay steadfast. He's like, get on the train.
Get on the
dock
train.
The train.
Yes, sir.
We talked a little bit about the Patriots, and this is more of a quick question. First of all, I got to say it again. My boy Aaron Hernandez, and I don't know Aaron. I'm not even going to say and act like I do because he's from my town. And, I know the family loosely, and I've got different connections, but I don't know Aaron at all. He doesn't know me. But he went to Bristol Central, and I went to Bristol Eastern, so we were, you know, not even the same high school. And I'm a little bit older than him, too. But nevertheless, he's still a local boy from Bristol, Connecticut, and I'm very happy that he's secured a 5-year, $37.5 million contract. I'm happy for his family and the such, and I'm proud to say that this guy's from Bristol, Connecticut. Great job, and I hope he stays healthy and is productive. But but with that said, what does it mean for Wes Welker? K-Star, Wes Welker wants a long-term contract, and the Patriots don't look like they're ready to give him one. Is his days numbered in New England?
I don't necessarily believe his days are numbered, but it's tough because, I mean, they've given both tight ends. You guys are right. They absolutely do run that offense through the tight ends. Those are the young players. Those are the focal points. And I don't necessarily think they're going to give up on Wes Welker. What I do believe, however, is they'll just continuously franchise Wes Welker or give him a short-sighted deal, which is what, you know, pay him cheap, which, you know, they've done occasionally before, but pretty much a strong-arm him in that sense because they do have the power in that kind of situation with him being only playing on a franchise contract. But it's interesting because, to me, I'm not sure if it's age for Wes Welker because he's been nothing but productive. But the Patriots without Wes Welker, as we've seen on actual football field itself, aren't nearly quite as good, you know, as they are with him. You know, they've struggled. They've lost a playoff game a couple years ago when that offense literally just went through Wes Welker when Randy Moss didn't have his best year there. And now with Hernandez and Gronkowski being paid so much, and obviously Brady getting paid so much, it does seem as if he's going to get the short end of the straw. But I just feel like the Patriots just expect that they're going to sign him for cheap and that he's just going to buy into the Patriot way because I don't know what his real options really are.
Train, thoughts? Welker?
Dude, Wes Welker is 31. He's not getting a new contract for you, okay? Wes Welker's stat says, paid me as I am a top receiver in this league. They are not about to do that. It just makes sense to franchise him until you no longer can.
Yeah,
so that's for the next 2 years, and then he's gone. They're looking for the next Wes Welker.
I'm going to break it down for you real simple. How many Super Bowls have they won with Wes Welker? I mean, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. You got the same quarterback back there. You got a guy out there getting 110, 120 catches a year, but you can't. You have lost two Super Bowls with this guy in your lineup. I just think it's over. They may franchise him. He's productive. So if they can franchise him and keep him, you know, and he doesn't hold out or anything, then, you know, that's what they'll do. And if not, they'll let him go. Because it is clear to me that what they have found is something that is very difficult for the NFL, for NFL defenses to cover, Gronkowski and Hernandez. Those two guys are very difficult to cover. And you don't see that on any other team, although teams are going to try to emulate it, but they don't got Tom Brady. They don't got Tom Brady. So I think they found something that's unique, that's difficult, and they're invested. Clearly, Gronkowski already got his contract a few months ago. Hernandez has got his contract. Welker didn't get one. Jabbar Gaffney, gone. Dante Stallworth, gone. Chad Johnson, gone. Yeah, they got Brandon Lloyd. They're going to need wide receivers. But the focus is going to be those tight ends. And and the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl with Welker in the lineup, to me, screams that they're not going to invest into this guy.
Oh, hold on. You're throwing Wes Welker under the bus. You really are. I mean, look, he should have made that play. And that's obviously because of comments like these, because the fact of the matter is he helped get to the Super Bowl, you know. He helped get them to the Super Bowl. The fact of the matter is, in 07, that offense ran through Randy Moss, but the reason why it was also so much better was because Wes Welker was always being the guy 1-on-1 as soon as they had, you know, double coverage rolled over to Moss. He was always going to win the 1-on-1 matchup.
K-Star, I'm going to ask you one question, and you know I want the honest truth. If Welker makes that catch in the Super Bowl, are we having this conversation?
No.
That's it?
It's so wrong. But he really hurt himself. Like, his legacy, oh, man, that's bad. I feel bad for the guy. I really do.
I mean, unfortunately, I can't disagree with you. I can't disagree with you. But if he makes that catch,
you're right.
We're not having this conversation.
You're absolutely right. That's kind of sad.
Speaking of catch.
Whole career come down to one catch.
One catch. Really? Speaking of receivers, we're going to talk about my favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, because there's been a lot of Cowboy news. I had put on the agenda for the night, the topic list, and I put this on before, and I'm actually been watching the game finally, because of course they air it at 8 o'clock Tuesday night, Cowboys and the Rams. So I wasn't able to see the game. I only got to see highlights. Thank you, NFL Network. Y'all just don't like the Cowboys, I take it. Anyway, Miles Austin out with a bad hamstring for the preseason. Dez Bryant out with a bad knee. Jason Witten out with a spleen injury. And my question was, is it time to panic? And then we watched Tony Romo go 9 for 13, 199 yards and 2 touchdowns in 1.5 of play against the Rams. Now, I will concede it's the Rams, okay? It's not like they're playing, you know, the Bears or Ravens or a team with, you know, stellar defense. It is the Rams. But he didn't have Austin. He didn't have Whitney. He didn't have Dez. And he still produced at that level. Because I'm a homer, I'm going to defer to my NFC guy, Train. And I'm going to ask you, Train, what do you think about the Cowboys and how they performed without their top three receivers? And should Cowboy Nation panic, or should they be should it be optimistic for them?
I wouldn't necessarily say panic, at least not right now. You have a whole nother week before the season starts. I don't think you would start the season without, you know, unless Dez Bryant gets a suspension, I don't think you would be starting the season without Dez Bryant. You know, Miles Austin hasn't played all preseason, so it's possible you'd have him. I think the only person that you truly may not be starting the season with would be Whitten. But, you know, Tony Romo owns that system now. He's been in it for a while, but he knows. You know, he knows how to talk to his receivers and how to get those guys open. I wouldn't panic just yet. But now, if it's Tuesday night before the Giants game, and you still have this question up here, it's panicking, but it's not. It's just a whole another weekend a day, man. So I wouldn't.
K-Star, any thoughts on that?
They did look significantly better, obviously, because they couldn't really done anything to look a lot better than from the first two games. But no, to be honest, they looked really good in their third preseason game, which is, you know, considered the dress rehearsal. Romo looked really good. We were on the pocket, finding receivers down the field. But the fact of the matter is they're playing a very quality opponent, obviously, the Giants, and they're going to need those guys to win that game. I have no doubt they'll compete regardless, but to win that game, they're going to need Miles Austin to make some plays, or Jason Wynn, or absolutely a Dez Bryant. They're going to need that help. They're playing the whole Super Bowl champions at New York at Giants Stadium, so the atmosphere is going to be a tough game to pull off, even when the starter's there. So they absolutely do need the starters if they want to, you know, get that week one win under their belts, which I know they do. So I would be concerned a little bit just because you want obviously your playmakers on the field. You want to make sure that Miles Austin doesn't have a nagging hamstring injury again this year like he did all last year. And then you want Jason Wynn's spleen to get better so he can be a target on the field, because Jason Wynn, you know, has, what, 90-plus receptions a year? The man's just the machine out there.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's Tony Romo's go-to guy. He moves the chains.
Right,
so they at least need David or Jason Wynn to play that football game to have a chance against the Giants. I'll just say that much.
Right, right. What I will say. I'm going to pause my thoughts on the Cowboys for a minute. What I'm going to ask you guys to do is hold down the show for a few minutes while I go handle something I need to handle. Can you guys talk about the QBs, the five rookie QBs, and then if I'm not back, segue into Dr. Train's philosophy.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. I'll be back.
So you want to take this? Do you want me to take it?
I'll go ahead and start it off.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, there's five rookie quarterbacks starting for the first time in NFL history. Obviously, there's a youth movement going on in play here in the NFL, and it's pretty exciting. The five being, of course, Andrew Luck, the first, you know, pick overall, Robert Griffin III, Eric Weedon, Ryan Tannehill, and Russell Wilson. Train, what are your thoughts on the excitement level we should have as far as seeing all this young talent? Do you think it's smart to be starting all these rookies, or are all these teams just being prisoners of the moment where all these other NFL teams have had success with rookies, so now they think everyone can have? Is this naive? What do you think of this whole movement that's going on in the NFL at the quarterback position?
That's a good question. Is it naive? And I didn't think about that, you know, when I kind of searched this topic. But first of all five of those quarterbacks need to thank Cam Newton and Andy Dalton. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely thank Cam Newton and Andy Dalton, because they show that given system, given some talent around you, given a coach that can believe in you, you can be successful as a rookie. Now, Andy Dalton didn't do what Cam Newton did. Cam Newton had more pressure on him. They didn't have a defense down there, so he had to score. He had to try to outscore his opponent in order to win games. Andy Dalton, I'm not going to call him a game manager, because the dude made plays. Him and AJ, they made plays. But Andy Dalton didn't throw away the game. He didn't play like a rookie that throws away the game. He played like somewhat of a veteran that knows how to keep his team in the game. So, now, are these coaches kind of naive with these five rookies? I wouldn't say so, because that kind of takes away from the coaches. I think if you look at let's kind of take them team by team. If you look at the coach and the Redskins, look, you got to find a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
The Redskins, they pulled the trigger. They got their guy. The coach finished last. You have no choice. You had to find a franchise. Now, you did have a franchise quarterback if you're the coach. But considering the money and the risk, okay, you go with Luck. So with those first two, you know, you have to do what you got to do. Now, we had just talked about Matt Flynn. And I don't know why, but I felt like the best place for Matt Flynn would have been Miami. You are following the head coach and with the system you just came out of.
Yeah.
To me, it made too much sense, you know, but Matt Flynn went to Seattle, okay, and now he's not starting.
Yeah.
It's the rookie guy.
Bro, out there.
Yeah, and then Miami had to pull the trigger since they didn't get a quarterback, since they couldn't land Peyton Manning. They missed out on Flynn because he made his decision before Manning made his decision. They had to go pull the trigger on the quarterback. And then you see the analysts pump up Tannehill, so he gets drafted. And, you know, up until the last preseason game, Tannehill did look, you know, he looked pretty good. So, I don't know, it's going to be a struggle for him in Miami, period, because even if he gets the system, even if they cater the system to the skill set, he doesn't have any playmakers besides Reggie Bush.
No, he really doesn't.
Devon Vest, who is really a
poor man's Wes Welker.
He's a number two. Huh?
Yeah. He's a poor man's Wes Welker, Devon Vest, out there in Miami.
Exactly. Now, if you take Whedon, I mean, dude, just you play for the Browns. I can't say
no
more than that.
No, and that's a curse.
Oh, my God. He needs Trent Richardson. More than Trent Richardson.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do. Especially considering Eric Whedon, quarterback for Texas Tech, you know, in college and just being so old as he was, you know, was a shotgun spread offense type of guy. But,
yeah,
you know, who knows if he can really run that offense, him, you know, as the quarterback, I mean, and for it to be successful. He absolutely will need Trent Richardson because otherwise he's going to throw a lot of interceptions in. You know, playing for quarterback for the Browns anyway, you know, it's already a curse in itself because you're expected to fail. You really are. For a reason, things are happening. Because we're talking about Trent Richardson maybe not even being on the football field. That's how bad it is for the Browns. And they just drafted that man third overall. It's always something. So, me personally, I'm excited about the youth movement because it's cool because we're going to see more and more talent infused in today's NFL. So I'm pretty excited.
I was going to say the other flip side of that is that there wasn't a whole lot of options out there as far as veteran quarterbacks who scream, I should be a starter. There really wasn't. So some teams really didn't have a choice. You know, so given these teams, they really, you know, didn't have a choice here. We thought Colt McCoy was going to take off. He didn't. You know, you only get so much of a window. At most, 3 years at best. You know, some give you shorter. But you only have 3 years at a position to really show up before they start. You're like, all right, we got to find the next franchise quarterback and next franchise running back. So with that in consideration, you know, these guys didn't have a lot of options as far as veterans to pick up. The best thing out there was Peyton Manning and maybe Matt Flynn next. After that, it's like, well, who? You know, we had Kyle Orton and Jason Campbell who used to be starters, but, you know, they end up being backup for two teams that are, you know, I would consider Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm back.
Oh, well, welcome back, T.
Well, you know, live radio, but sometimes nature calls. But I want to jump in and say one thing. This is why people really have to really think about their starting quarterbacks and not be so hard on their starting quarterbacks, because you can't go outside and just pick another starting quarterback off a tree. And when people are hard on quarterbacks like Phillip Rivers or Tony Romo or even Eli Manning before he won the Super Bowls, I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks, when you think about what are your options, Train, very eloquently said, there was no veteran quarterback screaming to start. Donovan McNabb is just too old. David Garrard started to play well and then messed up his knee. Matt Moore, who was a starter and was released by Dallas before he went to Miami, but, you know, obviously not playing at the level that they're looking at. Matt Hasselbeck, not playing at the level that they're looking for. I mean, other than a Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning, you know, and he's a Hall of Famer, I mean, there's no one out there screaming, I'm ready to play this game. And so I agree with you 100%. I applaud the fact that the NFL and these teams have said, you know what? As I said, here's the keys to my car. Let's see how productive you can be. I think they had a choice. You know, with outside of maybe, like you said, Matt Flynn over there in Seattle. But other than that, they really did. No, who's pushing these guys right now? I mean, I still have my theory on Cousins, but we'll see. That's going to take a little time to show whether I'm right or not. But, you know, there's really not a lot of people pushing these guys. So, hey, hats off to them. But now let's see what happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Today's NFL, you know, the teams want to see, the management, the organization, they want to see what they have, what, you know, with their draft picks, you know, what they invested in, what are they going to get on the football field, because quarterbacks, they really don't sit anymore. They don't sit,
you know, young quarterbacks and wait around. Only in the rarest of cases with, you know, Brett Favre and Rodgers, you have to be a great quarterback to keep that rookie off the field. And, you know, as Train even said earlier, the Luck Manning situation would be a perfect example. They want a young investment. They quarterbacks, it's such a premium on quarterbacks in the NFL these days. And the fact of the matter is, they must catch on quickly. And they'll either crash and burn, or they'll have success early and continue to grow as a better player. And that's just the way the NFL works these days. I think that's just, you know, the way it is in the world today anyway. You better catch on fast, or this world's going to pass you by. The NFL's going to pass you by. Look at Colt McCoy. You know, again, as you pointed out, I believe it was a third-round draft pick. He had 1 year to prove himself, really. One. And they're moving on. They're moving on. It's like a factory at the draft.
28-year-old rookie. 28-year-old rookie.
Yeah. And here we are. Yeah. And here we are. They're taking a gamble on Eric Weeden. Like,
right.
NFL teams for businesses,
right.
And moreover, the quarterback's the most marketable spot to market their franchise. They just got to keep it moving if you can't produce and quickly.
And let's be honest, was there really any doubt? I mean, let's look at this. You got Andrew Luck, who pretty much consensus was going to be your first draft pick, if not your second. Do you bring him in as a rookie and give him the franchise, or do you pay $28 million to Peyton Manning, who was out for a year with four neck surgeries? As great as Peyton Manning is, it really was a no decision there because he was unproven. So you give the keys to the franchise to Andrew Luck. So if Peyton Manning can't convince a team to, hey, pay me,
exactly.
The team that he has won a Super Bowl with, the team that he has won 10, 11, 12 games every year with, and that wasn't enough for them to say, let's do it. These other guys ain't got a shot. Hey, these other guys ain't got a shot. They ain't got a shot. They ain't got a shot.
Oh,
hey, I want to really finish quickly with the Cowboys. I apologize that I had to do this in two parts for all you people listening, and a lot of y'all love to hear me talk about my Cowboys. I know it because you do. Other thing I want to say is what I'm impressed with is I saw it last year with Tony Romo and Laurent Robinson, and like for the first time in his career, he's doing what we've seen Tom Brady do, what we've seen Drew Brees do. I don't know Aaron Rodgers just yet, but I think a little bit Aaron Rodgers. He's making average receivers look much better. Laurent Robinson was cut by San Diego. He was an average receiver, and he came and lit it up with Dallas, and now he's got a big contract. I don't even know where he is now. Maybe he's out in Seattle or something. I don't know where he is, but he's somewhere.
Yeah.
Is it Jacksonville?
Yes.
Okay. And what I saw in this game is Kevin Ogletree, who's been nothing more than a third receiver, looking good. Dwayne Harris, you know, fourth, fifth on the depth chart, and may very well become the third receiver, looking good. So I'm impressed to now see Tony taking these guys and actually making them look even better. I'm very happy about that. But we would be remiss if we didn't discuss the other Cowboy issue that came up this week. And it's affectionately known as the Dez Bryant rules. And for those of you who may have missed the Dez Bryant rules, I will tell you what they are. So from what I've gathered, Dez Bryant has agreed to certain rules of conduct that the Cowboys have supplied him. And they include not going to a strip club or any type of nightclub unless approved by the Cowboys, midnight curfew, no alcohol, and must travel with a 3-man security team at all times. Okay? And so I ask you guys, and let me start with you, Train. Do you think that this is reasonable? Do you think that the NFL should have a problem with this, or is this a smart move by the Cowboys?
I don't know if I want to call it smart move. I guess I will call it smart in the sense that you're trying to protect your investment. You know, they need Dez Bryant on the field. They don't need Fred Dez Bryant off the field. So if you can find a way to get the off-the-field issues under wraps, then you'll have a dominating Dez Bryant off the field. You know, because if he gets in trouble off the field, it's a wrap. You know, Goodell is bringing down a hammer. 1, 2, 3, even 4 games suspension. He's not playing. You know, so I just look at it as
they're trying to find a way to keep their investment on the field and not off the field with off the field issues. So whatever agreement that they have, if Dez Bryant agrees, because some of the things I've heard is, you know, that Dez Bryant acts with these rules and regulations. So I gave it to him, and if he's going to hear by him, then hey, yay for the Cowboys, because that means that Dez Bryant stays on the field. And that's the only thing that matters, is that Dez Bryant stays on the field and continues to be productive.
K-Star?
To me, this is Jerry Jones written all over it. Because Jerry was so pissed off, and rightfully so, about, you know, what's going on with Dez. It took him, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks or so to talk to him. So you know this is Jerry Jones' decision. You know he sat down with Dez Bryant and told him, look, this is what's going to happen because I can't be a father to you, so I want to make sure that you do have a father and we just look after you like you're a little kid. You know, and it sucks for Dez Bryant, but honestly, he needs it because he is a danger to himself. He really is. He's a danger to himself, to the Cowboys, because if he does mess this up, and, you know, he has been having issues the past couple of years with getting into bad situations, you know, then he, you're right, will face suspension Jerry Jones will just be done with him. I mean, it's that simple. You know, the guy is ultra-talented. He's a danger to himself right now, and that's why they're, you know, doing it. But it's kind of crazy, too, because, again, imagine that, you know, NFL teams. So is this going to set a precedent now where if you get in trouble a couple of times, now you have to have security detail if you want to stay on the football team? It's a little interesting, but I understand it because of all that's invested into these players. These are millionaires, so it's a little crazy, but this might actually work out for them.
I would put it to you this way. I don't have a problem with them doing it, but it is not all it's cracked up to be. Okay, I'm going to tell you why. Give y'all a little splash of T-Bonics. Y'all can't handle full T-Bonics. But I'm going to give you a splash of T-Bonics, okay? Why now? The guy was drafted out of Oklahoma, and they knew that he came with off-field challenges. They knew that when they drafted him. And yet they didn't institute any of these policies. Now they want to do it. I'm going to tell you why they're doing it now. I'm going to tell you why. They're doing it now because the NFL is certainly going to be interested in the court case with the incident with his mother. Even though the mother's not pressing charges, the DA could still press charges. The DA is considering pressing charges. They're contemplating it. So what Jerry Jones is saying to the DA is saying, hey, look here, man, we got this, okay? This kid's not getting in any more trouble. You don't have to press charges. We got this. What Jerry Jones is saying to Roger Goodell is, we got this. You don't have to consider a suspension because we're going to lock him down. So it's a little more superficial than Jerry Jones is this great guy. The other thing I heard today that is unconfirmed is that the cost is being absorbed by Dez Bryant. So the team isn't paying for this, the 24-hour security and the such. Dez Bryant's paying for that.
Oh, this is Dez Bryant doing.
Yeah, he's paying for it. I don't know that it's his doing, but he's paying for it. And I'm not too comfortable with that. To me, the team should pick up that tab.
I heard he asked for it.
Yeah, I don't know that he asked.
I think Jerry asked it for him and basically told him, look, you're going to have to pay for the bill because you're a little kid right now. You can't take care of yourself.
Yeah, I don't know that Dez asked for this. I really don't. I don't think that's the case. I find that very difficult to believe. But let me segue quickly into T-Bonics, and then we'll get back on, because T-Bonics, I have to talk about Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, despite maybe mandating these rules to Dez Bryant, might be the coolest owner in sports. Why is Jerry Jones coolest owner in sports? I'm going to tell y'all why. Actually, I'm not going to tell you why. I want y'all to take a listen. No, that's not it. Don't listen to that one. Hold on. Wrong one, guys.
Jerry Jones had some intro music.
Yeah, man. Hold on. I just had it. Hold on, man. Where did it go? Hold on. You know, it was just, I just looked at it, and that's not it. Where did it go? Well, that's not helpful. Hold on a second. All right, I got to refresh. You know, Blog Talk Radio, I love you guys, but, you know, this isn't a free service. We do pay to host a show here, and I don't like when you guys create these issues for us. You know, last week we had to end the show prematurely, and this week I can't find my audio file that I already uploaded hours ago, and now I can't find it. I don't understand. Ah, man, I can't find it. I thought I had it. Let me try this again. I don't think this is it, though. I think we're going to hear the thing again. Hold on. Yeah, this ain't it. So, I mean, my whole thing is blown. All right, so this is what you guys got to do, because I don't have it. I thought I had it. I'm very disappointed that I don't. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see if I can find it. So bear with me for a few minutes. Let's move on and get back to T-Bonics in a second. Let me now turn over to, and I apologize, I know you guys sit at the edge of your seats waiting for T-Bonics, and we're going to finish T-Bonics shortly. I'm going to defer now to a minute with K-Star, who wants to talk about, guess what, the Pittsburgh Steelers. K-Star.
It's a very happy day in Steelers Nation right now. Mike Wallace returning to the Steelers facility was a sight that many Steelers fans across the nation were waiting for a very long time. You know, he had honestly an unnecessary battle with the organization to try to get a new contract, because he should know that's not the way the Steelers and the Rooneys operate. However, I'm just happy he's back. You know, all along I've been having to hear other Steelers fans who, again, I love my fellow Steelers fans, but the guys try to minimalize, you know, Mike Wallace's impact. And that's just silly, because Mike Wallace is the best, arguably, the best D-third option in the NFL. Over 3 years, this guy has been one of the most productive receivers in the league. And even real quick, in the 3 years that he's played, he's averaged 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns a year, including his rookie year. The past 2 years, over 1,200 yards receiving, 10 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns. I mean, the guy's been a phenomenal player for us. And to really excel for us, for the Steelers to really have a chance at Super Bowl, they needed Mike Wallace all along. I hope it's not too late. I hope he's in shape. I hope he doesn't pull anything. That's my biggest concern. But the fact of the matter is, he's going to go deep, and he's going to burn whoever's covering him. And for that, obviously, the Steelers need that as, again, one of the best deep threats in the NFL. So happy to have him back. I don't feel like the story's got enough attention with Mike Wallace being as good as he is. And I actually want to ask you guys a question. With Mike Wallace returning officially to the Steelers today, what are you guys' thoughts on how that will play out, Mike Wallace's season play out? Will he be affected by this holdout, this extensive holdout, or will he be just fine just getting behind that defense like he always does?
Train?
I think it'll affect him. I don't know. You know, there's no history behind how he plays when he sits out. So I can only assume that him sitting out and you guys have any new offense, he'll be affected. And he probably won't see much of the field until, you know, maybe after the fourth week of the season when he has to get the grasp of the offense. His move hurt him more than helping him. Anyway, you can't have a holdout and you don't even have an existing contract, man. It just doesn't make sense.
No, that was stupid.
Yeah, it's talking about particular Steelers, man. They play defense and they run the ball. They're not a passing team. They can't make plays. And yeah, you can blow the roof off the field with your speed, but you know you're not the man down there. So why even do it to yourself? Come in, be with your team, practice. You know, try to avoid. I mean, you can't really say try to avoid injury. Injuries happen, and I'll talk about that in about the training philosophy. But come in, play ball, negotiate while you're with the team. Try and negotiate with the Steelers at wide receiver. With the Steelers at wide receiver, and you're away from the team? Come on, man.
Well, let me put it to you this way. Will he be affected by the holdout? Absolutely. I mean, he even said he's in shape, but he's not in game shape. You know, the NFL game is, you know, it's a hard-hitting, fast-paced game. And so will he be affected? Absolutely. But I think what's going to be a bigger issue than him being in shape and getting in football shape, because he is a very talented receiver, is the fact that you guys do have a new offensive coordinator. And so I think that's going to be a bigger issue of him getting kind of the new system down pat and understanding that it's a complete, you know, Todd Haley, who, you know, we've had over in Dallas, is a run first kind of guy. And I'm not saying that's different than what the Steelers have done in the past, but I don't know that Mike Wallace is going to catch 72 balls this year like he did last year, because Todd Haley really doesn't – that's not the type of offense that he is known for. Just, you know, it's more of a ball control, run, set up the pass kind of thing. And so I think what he's really got to do is get his nose in that playbook. And I think that's something that he's way behind the curve on, because the season starts, for, you know, for most of the teams in under 2 weeks. If he can catch up on that end of it, then I think he'll be fine, because he is very talented. I mean, you can't deny the guy's talent, his speed. I mean, he's a great receiver. You know,
three years playing, 3,206 yards. That's over 1,000 yards a season and 24 touchdowns. I mean, he's been productive from the start. I understand his outcry for a new contract. Obviously, he deserves it. But the way he went about it just really, really backfired. I don't know why he did that. He should have done his homework before doing that. Hopefully, this plays out to be true, or maybe I'm just being hopeful. But I don't see him being too affected by the holdout, only because he's just such a great deep threat that they're going to ask him to run those deep routes, those comeback routes. I mean, maybe I'm just being hopeful, but the guy's just so fast that him running streaks, posts down the field, I think he'll still be able to be behind that defense and still be very effective early on, but we'll see. And I'm really excited to see it, because I love Mike Wallace. He's a very exciting football player. If I wasn't even a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'll be a Mike Wallace fan, because he's just fun to watch. The guy's so ultra-talented. So I'm very excited. I'm about to buy the Mike Wallace jersey as soon as he gets his contract in order, and I'm just really looking forward to it. However, and I know this is another part to it, segueing into this other issue. Not all is as tremendous as it could be in Steeler camp, because unfortunately we lost, not for the entire season, but for a lot of the season, David DeCastro, our first-round draft pick at guard. Pretty bummed out by it. It's rough, because if you're a fan of a team and you draft a player in the first round, you're really excited, you know, for that player to go up there and produce. But even more so, I was excited because our offensive line has struggled for years now, and starts at guard, starts, you know, up front. We've always been bad against, you know, the powerful nose tackles in football and interior defenders. And it was very depressing to see David DeCastro go down in a preseason game against the Buffalo Bills because of the AstroTurf issues. Apparently, is what caused it. But the one good news that Steeler fans did receive regarding David DeCastro is that he's not being put on IR. It was a torn MCL and dislocated kneecap. They're saying possibly late November, early December, he can return. So at least that's slightly encouraging. But, man, losing your first-round draft pick for almost a year, it's a tough blow. It really is. It sucks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's really no way to soften that one. That's tough. Trey, any thoughts on that? I mean, there's really, you know, how much we can add to that.
Not much. I mean, anytime it sucks to lose a guy to injury, but it does really suck when you lose your top draft pick. You draft this guy to be an immediate starter and an immediate game changer, and now you got to wait a few weeks.
we got to wait.
Yeah.
We have to wait.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm ready to show everybody why Jerry Jones is the coolest owner in sports. If it doesn't work now, then I give up. We're back to T-Bonics, man. So I think I'm ready. So pay attention. Listen carefully as to why Jerry Jones is the coolest owner in all of sports.
When I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home, and I hear Papa John's pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle, with toppings and flavor almost too good to handle. Cowboys, five stars, what I get, like a Papa John's Pepsi.
double threat. Get a Papa John's large with up to 5 toppings and a 2-liter Pepsi. People are swallowing, cause there's no better value. Y'all catch my ride. Now, boys, 5-star combo for $10.99.
That was awful. Oh, man.
Listen, this is a 65-year-old billionaire who probably waste more money than I will ever see in my lifetime. And he happens to own quite a few Papa John's franchises. And the rumor is that one day he may own all of the Papa John's out there. Doing a rap, and if you guys want to see the video, it's on YouTube. It's on NFL.com. Got a lot of press today. I was a little disappointed because I knew about it and I was going to spring it, and then it was all over the internet and stuff. I'm like, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But I mean, what NFL owner does that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the cool. I want to go play for him. I'm an old man. I can't play. I can't play a lick of football. I can't even hold the ball for anybody. Okay? I can't even be a water boy or a ball boy. Okay? I'm just too old. I'm out of shape. I would go play for him. That's just cool. That's just cool. Wait, what?
When I'm at Cowboys Stadium or sitting at home, and I hear Papa John's pizza for Jerry Jones, yo, it lights me up like a Roman candle with toppings and flavor almost too good to handle. Cowboys, 5 stars, what I get. It's like a Papa John's Pepsi, double threat. Get a Papa John's large with up to 5 toppings and a 2-liter Pepsi. People are swapping, cause there's no better value. Yo, catch my ride. Cowboys, 5-star combo for $10.99.
Oh, I got to tell you guys, I am old enough to remember the infancy of hip-hop, okay? I'm old enough. I was there. As hip-hop was born, I was there, okay? And with some of the hip-hop that I hear today, some of that garbage that they call hip-hop that's out there today, I listen to this all day compared to some of that crap they got out there right now. All right, I'm done. Let's go to the phones. 423 would like to get in on the conversation. 423 area code, you are live on the Madden Voice.
How you guys doing? My name is Brian, and I am Bucks. Well, I'm Dr. Train's old roommate.
Uh-oh.
How you doing, man?
He's
and,
got
it. I've been listen to you guys on and off for a little while now, and over the past year, last year or whatnot, and I was talking with Buck, and I officiate football in down here in Tennessee, and I was talking with him about officiating and all that. He wanted me to bring a little perspective to what's going on with the NFL refs and everything, and. You know, I just say that, man, those guys aren't, you know, the NFL said they trained them, but I don't think most of them are ready for the NFL game.
Let me put this into context for everybody. So you are a real official. You referee games now. And so what you're saying, so you've seen, you understand that there's a holdout and the NFL referees want more money and the NFL is balking on paying them. So they brought in a lot of these college refs. The substitute games. We talked about it over the last couple of Madden Voices. We're disgusted at it. Now, you as a professional, this is what you do. What is your professional opinion on what you're seeing out there?
When I look at the refs, it's like, well, you know, I can see some of them, and this just goes from experiences. You know, you see some guys, they don't have that confidence. You know, so you can look at the guy, and automatically you're like, okay, I don't know if I believe in this guy or whatnot, or you don't feel that he knows the rules. He can know the rules, but he doesn't have that confidence coming off of him like, say, the guys that you've seen last year. And say, for instance, since they are the replacements, the microscope is on them more, but that doesn't necessarily excuse some of the, you know, there's been some calls. I actually went and looked some up a couple of minutes ago, and I'm kind of like, yeah, see, that's not good. You know, and I know they've got supervisors on the sidelines and all of that, but I mean, it just goes down, and I'll just be totally honest. Last year, I had a game where this was the first game that, you know, in I want to say in Tennessee, and it was televised on ESPN, and my crew was the crew to do that game. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, ESPN, you know, it's just going to be a regular game. And it is, but it's not. Because you pull into that stadium and you see huge TV truck, you know, you see all of this stuff that you don't normally see, and it's like, well, okay. You know, you start feeling
get nervous.
Hey man, you start the nerves and all that stuff start getting in, and then you see the fans. You know, you're used to the fans, but the fans are like, we're on ESPN. Hey man, they're doing all sorts of stuff that's going on. You're like, okay, you know, that's different, and then like I said, it should just be I'm officiating the game, but then you think, you know what? There's going to be a couple million people watching me tonight, and not ever having to deal with that. Hey, for the record, I thought we did pretty good, but you could tell right off the bat that, you know, we were a little jittery, because, you know, that's not something that happens all the time. And so going from that experience, I can see, oh, man, they just got these guys who haven't done, you know, Alabama, LSU in college. And you're going to have those guys do a Denver-New England game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's you know, and they could be good officials, you know? They could be
right.
Very good officials, but – you know, that experience, even, say, for instance, the timing. One thing that we had a problem with, and even the players had a problem with, because they, of course, they haven't refereed a game that was televised, but the TV timeouts, normally you're refereeing the game, you're just moving, you know. You're moving, you're getting in position, you know, there's a flow, there's a momentum, your whole crew is moving together. Well, when that TV timeout, that 2-3 minute TV timeout happens, your momentum stops, and you have to get back into it. And over the course of, you know, where a game we can have is 2 hours, 15 minutes, maybe 2 hours, 30, you know, now you have a game that's three hours, 15 minutes with that game. You know, you have to be in the game mentally the whole game, and with those stops, if you're not prepared for that, that can be a problem.
So let me ask you a question then. In your professional opinion, let's assume that the refs don't get signed and we go into the regular season with the replacement refs. Can these guys grow into this where as more games are played, will they get comfortable to where we notice their mistakes less and less? In other words, this is preseason for them too. As we get into the regular season and they do this more and more, do you think they'll get comfortable, or is the stage just too big where it's another world and they're going to need more than just one season, that this is a bad move by the NFL? What do you think?
Oh, no. Well, I'm going to be totally honest. And this has come from me. If the NFL said, hey, I want you to come up and referee in the NFL, I'm going to be like, yes, okay? But, you know what I'm saying, if they tell me, like I said, you know, you're going to do Denver and New England game one of the season, hey, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just got here. You know what I'm saying? You guys, what we do down here is, well, you have the experienced crews that are doing the high school games, and it's a little. I know it's a little different in pros, because you can't really predict a blowout in a pro game, you know. And to an extent, in college games, you kind of can somewhat, but you know, when you get all the way down to high school and lower, you can kind of predict. Okay, that's going to be a blowout game. So normally, what people will do is you have your regular crews and the newer guys. And they'll send them to these games that are going to be these blowouts, or the games that they feel that the officials can get in. And they'll have that guy on the field, and the experienced official, well, that guy will come in like, you know, third, fourth quarter. and they'll have the experienced official stand behind him and tell him what he's doing during the course of the game. So it that pressure of the game itself, because you don't want to throw that new guy into a game like I had last week where it's 28-28 and the other team kicks a field goal to win the game with 14 seconds left. You don't want to throw the new guy in to that game.
Right, but here's the situation. That's exactly what's happened in the NFL right now is these guys are thrown in. So my question to you is, focusing on the NFL game now, if we go into the NFL season with these replacement refs, are we in for a rocky road, or do you think that as more games are played, these guys will grow into it, and at some point we won't even notice that it's different refs?
There will be crews that will gel and get together. They'll look better. You know, I won't say that they'll look like the guys last year, but I mean they'll look better, and their officiating will be better. But then you'll still have crews who you may still have crews who haven't gelled yet, and it may even be halfway through the season before they get adjusted to all of the newness of the game. So, I mean, it can go – you're going to get a mix of good and bad with that.
Right, gotcha.
And you know, you can't really get around it because, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, the NFL isn't going to replace every official. You know, they still have somebody. And, you know, no, all experienced officials are gone.
Yeah.
All
that's
of
right.
These replacements, and I'm kind of like, you know, they just kind of throw them to the, you know, it's almost like throwing them to the wolves because, you know, the players know, you know,
right.
The coaches
right.
know, and you got 60,000, you've never been in a stadium with 60,000 fans, well, here you go, 60,000 fans are screaming
right.
at you.
Right,
and,
right. Hey, you know, our show's running out of time. Train, you got any quick thoughts on this?
Well, I was going to say, we did have a spirited conversation earlier. Some things he did point out, definitely the fact that they're not crews, you know, they're not used to working together, definitely can cause an issue, and that may be what we're seeing now. But, you know, we posed a question to him on whether this would, you know, will they get better as the season go along. I mean, like anything else, they are referees, so they have refereed football before. They may get better. But I don't think it's something that the NFL, being seen as a product, would want to experience. Period.
Right.
I don't think you want to experience that. I think that is a very bad idea. You don't buy a three-button suit and it has two buttons. That's what we're looking at right now.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey. You know, we gotta move on, but listen, real quick. You know, any dirt you want to share? We should know about Dr. Train. I mean, anything? You know, I mean, just us talking, man. Any little secrets you want to share with us, man? I mean, you know what?
I'll say this about him, man. You guys were talking about playing Madden earlier. Yeah, that guy right there. I know he hasn't played in a while, but that dude, Train was a beast, man. Train was a beast.
Yeah, you ain't got to tell me. I know. I definitely know that. All right. Hey, man, we appreciate the support and you calling in and repping your boy and the insight. And, hey, you know, make sure you know, keep us in mind, you know, as this ref issue continues, man, we may need your insight again on, you know, what you see out there in the NFL. So don't lose us. Keep us in your Rolodex.
Oh, yeah, man, no problem. Like I said, it kind of sucks that, you know, person A got thrown in there, but, you know, hey, NFL, you guys need to work out a deal.
That's it.
Soon.
That's
exactly.
That's it. All right, brother, we appreciate the call.
All right.
All right, B-Lot.
Yeah.
All right, take care. All right. What show can bring you a real live referee to give the perspective? Only the Madden voice. And that was set up by Dr. Train himself. Hey, you know, it's been an hour and 45 minutes, and we haven't talked about our favorite topic. But before we talk about our favorite topic, I just real quick, I told him that I was going to do it, and I'm going to get him because – I was in two drafts on Sunday, and the first draft is the NBX Afro Remix Fantasy Football League. Shout out to all the members of the league. I hope all y'all are listening, because y'all said you was going to be tuning in tonight. I'm sorry it took so long to get to y'all. But my man Jason, a.k.a. Hartford Whalers, the pick before mine in the sixth round, and he swiped Miles Austin from me. And I'm not happy about that, bro. And I told you I was going to put you on blast for that, because you knew I was coming up next. You knew that I'm a big Cowboy fan. You knew I was going after Miles Austin. I don't know how you knew, because we were sitting near each other. And I think you did it just to get me. And you lucky I had to leave. Because I told him he had to walk out the side door at Buffalo Wild Wings. He wasn't going to be able to walk out the same door with me. And he lucky I had to go, because I was going to get him outside and rough him up a little bit. But nevertheless, I told him I was going to put him on blast. I put him on blast. The other thing I want to say is, this league actually has a young lady as part of its one of its owners. So shout out to Jessica. I think this is her first year. If Jessica's not your first year, I apologize, because then I didn't know you was here before this year. But anyway, shout out to her. We got a woman in our league, and she might win it all. I don't know. She's making some pretty good picks. But anyway, I know Train wants to do a quick take on our draft as well. But before we do that, we cannot go the whole show. One of my colleagues, one of the guys in the draft, was saying every time he turns on the TV, all he hears is T-Bone Sanchez. So he turns on the Madden voice and wants to listen to the Madden voice. And what does he hear? T-Bone Sanchez. So you know what, Daryl? I know you're out there listening. We're going to talk T-Bone Sanchez right now. I'm going to go to K-Star first. K-Star, what is going on with the Jets? T-Bone Sanchez. Who should start?
It's becoming almost beyond irrelevant at this point, because they're so bad. Like, and they are. I'm even getting tired of it. I like Tim Tebow, but it's like we're focusing too much on the Jets, the media, you know, us just in general. Because again, I just don't think it's gonna be a good football team. But saying that, because I don't believe they're gonna be a good football team. Because I don't believe there'll be anything better than 9-7 at best, they should play Tim Tebow. Because at least, you know, Woody Allen, the owner, whatever the guy's name is, the owner there will get his ratings. He'll get the merchandise. We'll get the national media, which is what he wants, which is what the Jets want, because they seem to like that more than they actually like to play football and have results up there in the football field. They should start Tim Tebow with all that being said. We all know that Sanchez is going to fail. I'm sorry, Mark. It might not even be your fault at this point, because you really don't have much options around you, and you really haven't shown us much of anything, to be quite frank. So I want to see Tim Tebow play for my own selfish desires of him being entertaining and giving me more fun into women on Sundays. But I believe it'll come week three. And honestly, they both haven't shown us anything anyway, so what the hell?
Train, who do you think should start?
I would rather watch paint dry instead of talk about Tim Tebow and freaking Mark Sanchez. But since there is no paint, no wet paint in the room that I am in, I'm forced to talk about Tebow and Sanchez. Look, man, I agree with K-Star. For the ratings, dude, just start Tebow and get it over with. Yeah. That's what you brought him down there for. If you damn sure didn't bring him down there for to be a quarterback, we all know that. So just put him in there, sell some tickets, you know. Go 8-8. I don't even think they'll do 9-7. And don't make the playoffs. We won't care. But it'll be fun to watch.
Well, before I give my opinion, I want to let everybody know that we have 8 live minutes to go. Kind of what I said last week. Although this week I'm much more confident that at 10 o'clock we won't get kicked off. We're probably going to run a few minutes long tonight. So hang in there. If you lose us live, you can call in 347-838-9525 and still listen to the show that way. You can go onto the website and still listen to the show that way. But the live feed is going to end in about 7.5 minutes. We may go maybe another 5 minutes after that. But for all you guys out there that are listening in archive land that are nice enough to download us on iTunes, and we appreciate that, you're all set. You don't have to do anything but sit back and drink your coffee and enjoy the Madden voice. At this point, I'm disgusted with Mark Sanchez, because this is your team. You're the starter. We just talked about Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson, right? And I said, unless Russell Wilson totally outplayed Matt Flynn. It should be Matt Flynn's team. Well, I've watched these guys, and I got to tell you, neither one of them is standing out. And that is not downing Tim Tebow. He's the backup. It's downing Mark Sanchez. You got a guy that can't throw in there as your backup, and both you guys are stinking up. Now, it's not completely your fault. The offensive line is anemic. You know, you really don't have a go-to receiver. And I get that. I get that. But that said, if you want the starting job, and let me tell you something. This should have been my T-Bonics. It's not going to be. But I have to say this. The rhetoric that Mark Sanchez spewed in saying we're just saving our best for the regular season is the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I have ever heard anybody say in a preseason. You're saving your good stuff for the regular season? Are you kidding me? You think we are that gullible? You think we are that stupid to believe that you are out there tanking on purpose, and then when the regular season comes, you're going to turn into a juggernaut? Are you kidding me? I would bench him alone just for that statement. I would bench him. If I was Rex Ryan, I'd say, Mark, come here. We need to talk. Give me the keys back to my Cadillac. I'm giving them to Tim Tebow. He's not making excuses. See, we're saving. I should have put that clip on it. We're saving. We just haven't shown our best. We're going to save it for the regular season. Yeah, as you get beat down by the Patriots, by the Bills, and you might even get beat down by the sorry-looking Dolphins. Yeah, that might happen. Anyway, right now, I would give the reins to Tebow, too, right now, simply because Mark Sanchez has done nothing to distinguish himself. And I think Tim Tebow is horrible. Okay, he can't throw the ball. And I will say that until he shows me he can throw the ball. But Mark Sanchez, it's your team, and you're not showing me that. You're not hungry. I don't see any passion. And more fire from Tim Tebow than from Sanchez. It's ridiculous. I'd give it to Tebow, too. I'm completely with you, K-Star. And I'd give it to Tebow, too. Let's turn the wheels of the car over to Dr. Train. And we cannot ever have a Madden voice without some philosophy from the doctor. So, Train, teach us some philosophy.
All right. Well, Dr. Train's philosophy tonight, we're going to take a look at why we need preseason, why preseason is important. Because, you know, I get on these sites and you see the injuries that happen in preseason, and they suck. They suck, no doubt. You don't ever want to see your best player or any player on your team get injured in preseason. I mean, it sucks. It kills momentum. You know, even rookies, every 90 players on the Chicago Bears team, I never want to see it in. Only because we never know who's going to make a team. We don't know what kind of gem we got out there, what kind of undrafted free agent that may just be a big hit to make the team. But people have to understand preseason has its importance. And you just got to pray and hope your team makes it through preseason without getting injuries. These guys have to play football. OTAs. Voluntary workout is not going to get these guys ready for football. It's going to condition them, but it's not going to get them ready for the regular season. They got to get on the field. They got to run plays. They got to crack helmets. They got to feel hits. It has to happen. And, yes, it does take four games for it to do it. It's because you're trying to evaluate 90 guys. At most, you might see your real starters two games out of the preseason. And that's important because there may be a new offense. There may be a new player. You know, there may be some changes at quarterback, some changes at running back, wide receiver line. It doesn't matter, but these guys have to gel. This is a team sport. This is 11 people who have to work together just for one play to be executed 100% all the time. So with that said, you know, you can't knock this down to two preseason games as it was proposed a year or so back, knock it down two preseason games, 18-game schedule. No, you can't evaluate your team in two preseasons. You need the four preseason games in order to do so because you need to know who's going to be backing up your starters and are they able to come in and take over if they're called upon. So with that said, fans, listen, just pray and hope your team doesn't have serious injuries. Because they need to be football ready, and the only way you can be football ready is to play football.
Hey, man, I only have have two things to say. I only have two things to say, okay? Because I can't even, I mean, here's one of them.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
And the other one is?
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
I co-sign everything you said, Train. I can't. You said it perfectly. It's beautiful. It's lovely. I mean, that was some of the best. I mean, K-Star, am I right? Can you find something to disagree with there?
No, that was music to, I think, all of our ears, especially those who do agree that the preseason is necessary. And for all those reasons he had stated so eloquently, I can't. I'll just end it like this. Co-sign. Co-sign everything Train just said. If I could retweet it in a very long message, I would on my Twitter. Very well done.
It's funny how what happens when people get PhDs, man. I mean, he just coming out the box. That was some mad philosophy right there. Y'all, man, if y'all didn't catch that, I'm going to tweet that y'all need to catch Dr. Train's philosophy tonight because he's preaching. That's all I'm saying. That was lovely. That was lovely. Train, you did so well. I'm going to now give you the floor to talk a little bit. And again, everybody, if you're out there listening to us live and we lose the live stream, I apologize. They only give you 2 hours for the live stream, but we can do a three-hour show. We're not going to be on for 3 hours tonight, but we can do a three-hour show, but you can only do 2 hours live. So we may go off the air live. You can catch us in the archive, or you can dial in and listen to us, continue to listen to us, 347-838-9525. You can listen to the Madden voice, but we're going to stay on for another few minutes. I'm going to let Train talk a little bit about the league that we are in together, that he oversees, the EAFL Fantasy Football Draft. Go ahead, Train.
Oh, man. EAFL Fantasy Football, where all teams are settled on the field.
Yes, sir.
Hey. You got to love the league. Case, I got to find a way to get you in now. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I might have to get somebody in.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I agree.
You got to get in now. I'll figure it out one of these years. But we just had our draft, and normal football normal fantasy football league sizes are between 10 to 12, but ours is 14 because most of us play Madden together. Even when I wasn't playing, some of those guys still continue to play, and this is a kind of another way for us to kind of continue to stay together and talk trash. And we just had our draft. T will be defending his championship this year. Round of applause, my boy T, for winning.
Yeah,
he will be defending his championship. So, and the guy we have, the guy that ended up getting the best draft was a guy that we know by the name of Nils. We all used to call him T.G. Son, but he ended up having the best draft. But he also, I mean, his keeper was Aaron Rodgers. And he ended up drafting three pretty good, receivers. One of the most difficult things about our draft is that, if you have you have only 10 and 12, most average about 10, you pretty much got a large pool of players, good players, to choose from. In order to draft in the AFL, you got to know almost every single player in the league. I mean, you got to almost anticipate the 53-man roster, because after the 8th round, it gets slim. You got to know the backup to the backup. You got to know, hey, if we have a possible injury here, hey, this guy's going to hit the field. You pretty much got to catch as many preseason games as you can, at least stats as you can, in order to find out which rookie running back or wide receiver is about to break out. Because that's where it's at as far as drafting in our league. And it still stays competitive. Because if you can pretty much break 95 on a consistent every week, you pretty much got a solid team. So a lot of teams, I think their average, a lot of leagues, their average is about 100, maybe 110. Blocks. Hey, you can eclipse 95, you can pretty much win almost every week. So I'm excited about the season. Our draft is over. I think I still have a situation where I'm trying
Who are some of your players that you guys had since you guys are in the league together? Who are some of your two highlight players, so to speak, on both your teams?
My highlight players, I think I kept Matt Forte first pick was first two picks, Turner, and then I came back around and got Jordy Nelson. I had a chance to piss T off, and I should have did it. It was like fourth round, I think. Nobody had picked up Dez Bryant, but I kind of had my eye on tight end. And for some reason, I think Antonio Gates is about to make a comeback this week. So I made a run for Antonio Gates. We're at the same time looking at Dez Bryant, knowing T is going to draft behind me. And lo and behold, as soon as I drafted Gates, it didn't take T nothing but a few seconds because Dez Bryant.
I sat there and I knew you were picking, and I said, this cat's going to pick Dez Bryant on me. I know he's going to go ahead and do it. I'm just sitting here watching, man. My heart's in my mouth. I'm like, because it just happened to me in the other draft where, you know, Miles Austin right now with a hurt hammy, sixth, seventh round makes sense, you know. So he was still out there in the sixth round. I said, let me go ahead and grab Miles. And dude grabbed him. I'm like, you mism fism. So I was like, this ain't going to happen to me twice. But, fortunately for me, it didn't happen. And I know this is your moment, but let me just say this. Your boy Memphis commented on how, you know, my team should be, just rename them the Cowboys, okay? But you're right, Train. You know, when you have 14 teams, it gets slim. And I know my Cowboys. So, yeah, it does become a little bit of a safety net to pick Cowboys. But the Cowboys that I picked, I mean – one of my running backs is DeMarco Murray. DeMarco Murray played seven games last year, ran for 900 yards. I mean, we're not talking about Julius Jones here. We're not talking about a scrub. I picked Dez Bryant. You know, everybody knows the potential that Dez Bryant has. I picked Dan Bailey as my kicker, who made 28 consecutive field goals. So, I mean, I'm picking Cowboys, but I'm picking talented Cowboys. And then, of course, I picked the Dallas defense only based on what I've seen in this preseason. Their defense has been locked down each game.
I actually got a co-sign that. My first fantasy draft this year, I had actually took Cowboys, obviously with the later picks because it's a defense. And I actually had selected them because the fact of the matter is they have cover corners now so they can efficiently run their defense. And, they still have Marcus Ware. And their biggest problem last year was breakdowns in coverages because they didn't have good man-to-man coverage play, and they're going to have that this year. So I will say as actually a good pick, not that I'm really surprised. I mean, you did win the league last year. But who are some of your highlight players? Like, I know you have Breeze, right, in that league, or is this
more? I'll give you my starters real quick. I've got
real quick.
Breeze, Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles, Jermaine Grisham, Peyton Hillis. That's my starting line. Then I got Dan Bailey and then the Dallas defense. Those are my starters.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, I think it's a competitive team.
I think it's a pretty good deal. What about Train? What's your roster? What's your starters real quick?
My starters, I got my Bears trio. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm excited about my team. So I did pick, like T said, you know your team, so you pick people you think are going to be productive. But I got Jay Cutler as my quarterback. Jordy Nelson, Vincent Jackson, Turner Forte as running back, Antonio Gates, Pierre Garçon at my flex position. I got Cincinnati's kicker, and I picked up the Bears even.
It's not too bad. I got to ask you a question, though. Michael Turner, are you nervous, or do you feel like it's going to be business as usual?
I think it's still going to be business as usual. This dude still, they have to listen. They do got Julio Jones, and they do got Roddy White, and they can't air out the ball. But I think in that NFC, even in their division, they got to be able to run the ball. And this dude will still get his carries regardless of what else they do offensively.
And he was very productive last year. I had him last year.
Very productive.
In our league, I had him. And this year, I have him in the other league. And I made it to both championship games last year, won one, lost one. So in the other league that I was in a championship game and lost, I actually have him this year, Michael Turner. And I agree with Train. I mean, you definitely know that they're going to have an aerial attack. But this guy's going to get some carries. I mean, and he's that dual threat back where he can break a big one, but you also keep him in inside the 5-yard line because he's a big boy too.
Exactly.
I think he'll get his goal. I think he'll still get like 10 touchdowns. I just think his yards will decrease to about 1,000, which is still, you know, still pretty good. Like, I'll take 1,000 yards and, you know, 10 touchdowns or so, but.
Yeah, I will, too.
We'll see.
Yeah, 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, I'll take.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right, we're gonna wrap up. Let me see here real quick. Next week, what we're gonna do? I know K Star wanted us to make picks and stuff each week, and you know the weeks have flown by and we've had so much to talk about. But next week, what we're gonna do is each of us will pick our division winners. So that's gonna be the focus of the show, plus whatever the latest news is. But we will pick our division winners with
next
a brief explanation.
Week is prediction week. God, football
next week,
is oh my
already,
God, I can't wait.
Already.
I can't wait. I mean, as happy as I am about Matt, I'm even more way more excited about the NFL returning. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. We're making real-life picks next week.
We're making picks. We're actually going to make our division pick. And our week
one
pick.
It's coming up. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's going to be the show before the game, dude.
That's amazing. I'm excited.
It really is. It really is. I'd be remiss since this is Madden Day if I didn't mention Train had noticed on the Chicago Tribune, and I'm stealing all the Train's thunder, but that they did a Madden simulation. Train, go ahead. You take it. That'll be our last topic of the night. But talk about the Madden simulation and what you discovered that the Chicago Tribune discovered.
Okay. Hey, I haven't played Madden in years, and at some point, you know, I may end up back on those six. But until then, I thought this was pretty cool when I saw it. And I was like, whoa, really? Basically, you know, they run Madden simulations every year to see who will get to the Super Bowl just by simulating the season. And through the Madden simulation, it's going to be a rematch of Super Bowl 20 with Chicago versus the Patriots. Both teams go 12-4 in the simulation, and they meet in the Super Bowl. I just thought it was pretty amusing, but you know it's not far fetched for it to happen.
I don't think it's far fetched really at all. If that Cutler and Marshall combination it proves to be effective, which I think it will absolutely be. Consider obviously the Patriots are obviously Super Bowl contender, as are the Bears this year. So hey,
no, it's not far fetched. I said last year. And they didn't have Brandon Marshall last year, that the Bears were going to be a surprise team. I said it early in the year. I got on the Bears bandwagon, and had Cutler stayed healthy. Who knows? I mean, the team was shaping into a very competitive team. And, that division, I mean, as much as everyone talks about the NFC East, and rightfully so, with the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Giants, you're talking about the Lions who made the playoffs. You're talking about the Packers, and you're talking about the Bears. I mean, that's going to be an equally stacked division. But I will say this, and I'm not saying that, you know, I have no loyalties here. this year is going to be very interesting because I think the three of us are supporting teams that potentially could go very far into the playoffs. I like what I'm finally seeing from the Cowboys defensively, and that's been the missing link. The offense has been there all along. Now the defense is really stepping up and showing, you know, that this is a Ryan defense, and I like what I've seen so far. The Bears always have that D, but now with Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler reunited, Matt Forte, I mean, that offense could really set some fire. And the Steelers are, I mean, they're just a mainstay. You know, you can't count Big Ben, and now they got Mike Wallace coming back. Mike Tomlin going to be there. How's Mendenhall's health? Is he going to be all right?
He's off the physically unperformed playlist, which means that he will be made available whenever we feel he's ready to. Basically, the Steelers said that because he's off that list, they feel that he'll play before week six. So he's coming back off the mend. And I'm just really excited because Antonio Brown, this will be his first full-year starter. He was very productive last year. Now we have Brown and Wallace. And I know you aren't too big of a Todd Haley fan, but he did have a great offense going on in Arizona. He was a coordinator there, and I'm just really excited. So we all do have three potential powerhouse teams this year, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I just want to tell everybody to really, you know, pay attention this year to the Madden voice because you're going to be talking about, I mean, the Cowboys play both of these teams, so it's going to be a lot of smack talk. It's just going to be a very, very hot NFL season. So with that said, you know what? My browser is now acting up. You know, guys, I'll tell you, technical difficulties are no fun when you're trying to host a live radio show from your home computer. But anyway, with that said, I do want to say that it's been a pleasure being here with y'all. And we went over a few minutes of our normal time. We hope we didn't keep anybody from Hard Knocks or a Bill Parcells show on HBO. On ESPN. Check it out. He's doing an NFL pre. I love Bill Parcells. I think he's just the man. So y'all check out Parcells' show. Check out Hard Knocks. We haven't talked about Hard Knocks, but maybe next week we'll spend a few minutes on kind of what we learned from the Hard Knocks, Miami Dolphins and stuff. I think the TV show has had an impact on the team, and I want to talk about that next week. So anyway, with that said, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, the Madden Voice will be back next week with a bigger and better show, and we want to say thank you for tuning in, and just remember, the Madden Voice is the home where all feuds are settled on the field. Everybody take care. Good night.